Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adam, presented by Inspired Media for You. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, Master Motivator, and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. Each week, we come together to engage on life's highway, where I truly believe we are on a divine journey in which God is the light, illuminating our path and guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we want to thank you and express our heartfelt thanks for you tuning in to this time of empowerment, coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose, to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, it gives us great joy to let you know that we have two programming outlines to support and to serve you in your vision development and growth. The blending of our in-studio audience, our in-studio guests, sharing their testimonies and or areas of expertise, and our Shape Up series, which has been designed to support you on your journey to win personally and professionally so that you may be more equipped to work it now. Work your vision, achieve your goals, and ultimately living out your dreams. Wow, if you have missed any of our past show episodes, you truly are missing great richness. Of course, Coach Adams is so biased because each episode of Motivational Mondays is rich and empowering. If you have missed any of our past show episodes, archives of previous broadcasts and the richness of what is shared each week are always available at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia, the number four, the letter U, www.blogtalkradio.com, Inspired Media for You. Each installment of Motivational Mondays is truly insightful. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I will share with our in-studio guests for about 40 minutes into our programming today around today's subject, and then we will open the programming up for you, our audience, and your participation, at which time we welcome your questions and comments. This, of course, will lend to an interactive environment, which we absolutely love, and we encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime right on in. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays, we have an all-star powerhouse in-studio guest. But before I bring in our marketing guru, who has over 25 years of experience in this area of industry. I want to let you know that we're going to ask of you, our in-studio guests, our global listening audience on behalf of our in-studio guests and Coach Adams, that before we jump into today's topic, we ask that you take a quick moment to invite someone to the show, write on someone's Facebook wall, send a tweet, a text, a fax, an email, a DM, a message, and a bottle of carrier pigeon. Do whatever you need to do ultimately to invite someone to share in today's programming and the broadcast with you. We extend our gracious, heartfelt thanks in advance for your support with adding to and increasing our base of sharing this powerful motivation and inspiration each week with our listening audience. Well, I want you to know that our in-studio guests, without question, when I say marketing guru and business consultant, she truly is all of that. Miss Lisa, as I love to affectionately call her, as I mentioned, brings over 25 years of business experience and training. Lisa has advanced degrees in business administration and in marketing. She is also proficient in business technology and software graphics, design, digital marketing, social media marketing, and product service development. She is working on a number of different projects of her own, which we will hear all about them. But I want you to join me in giving a warm virtual round of applause here on Motivational Monday to Miss Lisa, our marketing guru, as she joins us in the studio and we talk about the art of marketing. Miss Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Coach? It's so fun to be here.
I am absolutely fabulous, and it's wonderful to have you in the studio today with me. And, you know, of course, I reflect back on when you and I first met, and it was some time ago.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to share with my mentor, Coach Alan Haddon Hollingsworth, at a Phase 2 vertical leap that they hosted a couple of years ago, and you came up, and you were the marketing guru in the house. And I got such wisdom from you, and we've become Facebook friends and, you know, have just been tapping each other at different levels since that time. You know, I would love for I'm connecting with you, but I would love for you to share, if you were to say who Lisa is to other people, how would you describe her?
I would describe myself as a very outgoing geek.
Did you say outgoing geek? Oh, my God.
I'm an outgoing geek, you know, one with glasses. In fact, you know, I recently just got my hair done, and I've gone kind of a platinum blonde with a purple highlight. And that's been a lot of fun in terms of meeting people for social media and digital marketing and talking to them. It's really kind of enhanced the fact that I'm all over in my likes and dislikes. I'm kind of a learnaholic, and I love being a grandmother and mother, and so I bring kind of a lot of different things into what I do in terms of helping people to get online. But I'm definitely come off that geek, you know. And when I start explaining, my mind gets a little bit focused, and I start getting a little deep in what I do. I love what I do, and I like to learn every aspect that I can and exhaust it. And so when I start getting and talking about social media marketing, you'll watch me and my energy focus, and then I get like a little more serious and so, you know, I have this fun side, but then I have my geeky side where I start explaining, and that gets a little more focused. So I would say that's kind of who I am.
I love it. And, you know, I would not have guessed that there was this quote-unquote geeky side to you. But I guess, you know, for what you do, you got to have that little geek in you. And I think that is so cute. So thank you for allowing the little geek lady to come out, the geek girl to come out and share with us today and the wisdom. How did you transition into this area of passion? Because I know, one, you're very proficient, and without question, you are truly passionate about what you do. What drew you to this industry?
Well, you know, oddly enough, I started out going to school in computers, and I told my parents I wasn't really interested in that, so I went into business, and then I quit school completely and just started my life along its journey, and I got, everywhere I got into business, I was promoted. I kept getting promoted into management and different types of business, and one of them that I had was a job as a manager over three private businesses that were doing close to about a mil and a half in business. And when I was there, some of the businesses were not doing as well, and they brought in a consultant. And he was a world-renowned consultant, ran a lot of investment companies. And he sat down and interviewed each one of us. And he interviewed me, and he says, well, what would you do if you were given free rein? And I said, blah, 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 blah. And so later on he went back and he says, well, if you'd listen to Lisa, your business would be fine. And then about probably 3 weeks later, I got a letter from him, and he said their investment group wanted me to come visit with them up in Seattle if I was interested in training in a position with them. And so I ended up training with them on risk management and reviewing large business setups and injections of funds into businesses. So with them, I would work on projects all around the world. I worked on a project, a windmill in Italy, and I worked on some coal mining logistics issues between Canada and China, and we worked on some energy issues down in Africa. We worked on another energy farm that was in Brazil. So, I mean, we just had a lot of fun on the projects that we did. I found that it was my passion. I went back to school. Went back to school while I was really ill and in bed, actually. Did online school, got both my degrees. And then jump back into consulting, which I've done, as you know, for all kinds of projects. And now I'm kind of on my own journey doing digital marketing, because it's part of building my own businesses that I'm building right now.
You know, what I love hearing, and, you know, my passion is purpose and passion, you know, helping others to draw out what's on the inside. And so what I love is naturally you had it in you, and you went back to school to perfect and to enhance, but who you are and what you do today, it was already there residing in you. And so let's jump in and talk about, you know, we have different people listening in from all walks of life, but the central thread that I believe everyone listening in, regardless of what level they're at, they truly have a vision that they're looking to drive to the next level. And today's world with social media and all of that, the digital age, it's a different way to market. What insight would you give us on marketing in today's world?
Today's world in the market, I'm going to set the answer that I give you, is that the market in marketing and advertising itself is changing at the speed of light. And this is happening because of the internet. And, you know, remember a long time ago, Coach, how your dad would buy a car and he would look at either a newspaper, or he'd go in and talk to the salesman. You know, you didn't really have a lot of choices to get your information. And you might talk to your friend down the road, but there just wasn't a lot of ways to get this information. So it was a really controlled situation, and the marketer had the advantage. You might call it, you know, the seller's market at this point. And then as the internet came in and we've got social media, and boy, we can just gab and chat to each other. We can Google anything we want to. We can see people's opinions. We can look up technical information about products and services. That information has given the buyer the power. That power is something we have to pay attention to. So there's a couple of things we have to pay attention to now in marketing. We have to pay attention to the buyer's journey, and we can talk about that more in detail. We have to know who our buyer is, because there is such a huge market of advertising out there that is inundating your buyers. So you can get lost in that ocean. And the other thing is to know where you need to market. You know, what is going to communicate with your market best in terms of matching up where they are and your message. So that's kind of all of that in a nutshell.
Got it. And, you know, many would say, well, you know, I'm not really a social media person, but I have this vision that I want to share with people. What would you say to someone who says, you know, I don't really feel that whole social media thing? Does it require all of that?
It does not. The situation is that you have to treat marketing and what you're doing to sell kind of like dating. And I'll give you an example, because right now I'm working on a project with promoting authors who are trying to get their books and their message out. When they go to produce a book, they produce it, and then they go, I want to sell this. So they put it on Amazon. They're like, okay, now everybody will buy it and tell each other because it's so awesome. But there is literally, I think they said that there's about 1.6 million books coming out every year, and you have to somehow connect with your audience, and that connection process is like dating. And, you know, you wouldn't go into a market, find some random person, and walk up to them with some flowers and say, hey, would you marry me? And so the situation is you have to meet somebody, introduce your name, get knowing, and so that process in social media can be very short. You just have to know how to do it. So if they're afraid of social media, what they need to do is start to learn some of the steps of what I would call dating your customer. And some of those steps involve getting on Facebook and maybe providing some information to people, but more so, it's like I said, you have to find who your buyer is, know where they are, and how to talk to them, which can be, you know, maybe they're on Pinterest or maybe they're on a different one. So if you're not familiar with those things, find somebody who has walked through it, studied it, and done all those things to help guide you through that pathway. It's really not as hard as people think. It just takes some effort on their part to learn how to talk to their audience. I was with a client the other day. Literally within about 45 minutes, we developed a very quick plan for him to reach out to his audience, and it probably would take him 10 or so minutes a day to increase what he was doing in sales very rapidly. So it's more about pinpointing and knowing your audience. And I don't know if that fully answered what you were asking.
No, it did, because, you know, so often we'll hear the term, you have to maintain some relevance. And I'll be transparent, completely transparent, is that I have found that I am absolutely boring on social media. I took a class, and, you know, based on that class, it was like, okay, Coach Adams, you are boring on social media. And so I am growing and, you know, wanting to be more interesting in this quote-unquote dating process, as you would say. I love that term, because I think everybody can relate to that at whatever stage you're in. Even if you're married, at some stage you dated someone or you had an interest or what have you. And so you absolutely answered that question. What would you say would be some of the tips that you would give people to become more engaging in whatever they determine is the platform? Like you said, there's so many different outlets out there. You know, of course, Facebook, Pinterest. You mentioned Pinterest and Facebook. There's, of course, Instagram. There is Snapchat. Now, I haven't gotten into Snapchat. I don't see the relevance for me, but I could be missing it on that one.
Well, you and I don't see the relevance to Snapchat. I agree with you, but yes, there is an audience there to reach. So,
yeah, and like you said, I think it's important to know your audience, because then we, of course, have LinkedIn. So there are all these different pathways. Is there any wisdom that you would share with our audience, someone who may be struggling, or even if they're not struggling, they're just trying to drive to the next level, and how they can allow themselves to engage and not be boring like Coach Adams is on social media. She's far from boring in real life, but on social media, she's absolutely boring.
Well, you know what makes us boring on social media is that a lot of the times we're trying to talk to our audience and say, you know, I've got this much clout, and there is a need for social proof, but more so, you know, we're discussing with them all these details that we think are important. And in today's social media marketing especially, you have to get into the mind of your buyer and shed your own thoughts and opinions, because your opinion about why you're there and their opinion about why you're there can be completely different. You have to get into their mind, know their hobbies, know how they think, what is going to be an emotional trigger with them, and start using that information to talk to them on this organic manner. Like, you know, here you are on radio, and you're connecting with your audience on a very organic and emotional level. You know, they like it when you're excited. They like it when you're sad. They like it when you're interviewing and we're giggling together. They like it when we create, you know, controversy and anger and things like that. We mix it up to get a good stir on the listening. Well, in social media, there are reasons why people are there to interact. And some of those reasons are very astounding. Like, for instance, one of the things they did on a study on Facebook, and they studied about why people clicked like on stuff. And they found out that people clicked like on stuff because they liked feeling virtually empathetic, that it made them feel part of a community. It wasn't necessarily that they liked what they were liking. It wasn't about that they disliked what they were liking or that they felt like they had to do it because their friends said so. When they got down to the meat of it, they found out that they were liking it because who are on Facebook want to feel empathetic. And I found that kind of interesting because that was not what I would have thought people were liking it for.
You know what? As you said that, I'm pausing because I am one that I don't like if I don't read it. You know what I mean? It's like, or react to it or what have you, unless I really take the time to read or I'm really saying, yes, okay, cool, I'm giving a thumbs up to that. So it's very interesting, this point of view. Great wisdom is being shared because I have no idea that people are liking, per se, to appear empathetic. That is just so interesting to me.
Well, and the other interesting part of this study, now this is a compilation of various studies, but they found out that people commented for different reasons, and they commented sometimes to feel that they were not alone. It didn't necessarily mean that they felt like anybody was going to read their comments or disagree with their comments. And there were, mind you, this is general information. It doesn't mean everybody has these same opinions about why they do things. But generally, and one of the things that I found so interesting about this was that they could find out by your likes and your comments, like just and create algorithms about this. Algorithm is a mathematical way of looking at things. And they could determine with fairly good accuracy by what you were liking and what you were commenting on, if what religion you were, whether you were Hispanic, black or white or this or that, and Asian and all these different things. They could tell if you were in the country. They could tell if you were in the city. It was like, in a way, it was very interesting. It was kind of creepy at the same time. It was like, according to these things, our behaviors are very predictable on these social media websites. And if they're predictable, that means that as a marketer, they're also predictable in what we can do to create triggers to interact with people.
You know, it's so funny, Lisa, as I'm sitting here, I'm laughing because what's predictable about me and my life, if it's short and quick, if I can read it in seconds, then I'm liking it. If it's longer, oh, you've lost me. Forget it, because I'm literally just chipping in and chipping out just to maintain my own relevance. And so people get the impression sometimes that I'm on social media more than I am. because when my stuff is, you know, quote unquote, loading up, I'm doing my little likes as if something brief, and then I'm moving on. So that definitely, you can tell my rhythm. If it's short, I'm generally, you know, logging and giving that like to it. If it's longer, I'm like, okay, I got to get back to it because I got to be able to read it.
Well, that's my experience. There was a time when people read longer posts on Media, and some sites do promote longer posts, but Facebook was just as short in its, in if you posted the shorter posts, like you said, got more likes and things like that, because a lot of us feel the same way. We've got so many friends and we got so much interaction. But this study was on active participants, and you have certain people who qualify for active, and that's people who exceed 40 minutes every single day on Facebook, and that's quite a few of the people on Facebook. Yeah, not everybody's going to fit into these categories for sure.
No, I love it, and this is such great insight, because it is important, like you said, to know your customer. We often hear that term, know your customer. You know, so you have to KYC often. You have to know what are they doing, what are the trends and all of that. You know, one of the greatest wisdoms that I've learned from you, and I really try my best to do this, is the significance of colors in marketing. Do you want to touch a little bit on that? Because that's something that I really fight to drive the things that I do since I met with you, based on, you know, what colors mean in marketing. And I don't think people really realize that.
Yeah, well, you know, I love that topic as well, because I'm an artist on the side anyway. So color is very important in how your audience perceives the message and what reactions they're generating from those colors. The other thing is I'm going to give you a pop quiz here. What color do you think is best for posting on Facebook? So if you post a picture with some words in it or something, what color do you think would be the best color?
You know, I am very partial to the green. I'm very partial to the green.
Okay, so you're very – so I was – in when before I did some studies on this, I was thinking that, like, white, that clear background would be nice because people like things uncluttered. And I found out that dark brown, dark gray, and almost a dark black were the most noticed posts.
Really? On Facebook? So it depends on the area that you're posting on as well, right?
Yeah, because their background's white and blue, and so it was standing. Well, this is the theory of the people who took these statistics, like Mashable and you know, big companies that are monitoring this type of thing. But their theory was that it stands out, so that, like, when you have a black background, you have to put white font, and that the other color that showed up best was orange. And of course, we all know an orange house is very obvious. But the thing is that color has a lot to do. So back to colors in general, blue is a trust color. Violet and purples tend to be regal, wisdom, and things like that. Orange is a energy color. Green is growth and money. Blue is, pinks tend to be feminine. And yellows are brightness and hope. So, did I miss any colors there? But anyway, those are the general, you know, interpretations that are mine. But this is comes from a cultural basis. This isn't even something that we think about too terribly much. We're taught from the time we're growing up, you know, what color is the sun? It's yellow, it's bright, it's happiness. And, you know, what color is blue? It's blue is the color that you put on people that we trust. And so if you notice, like 90% of the logos, I'll challenge you to look at all the logos, so many of them are blue. And, you know, green has become our color for anything that's healthy and friendly to the economy and everything. So green, you know, as in being, my brain is not thinking of the word right now. But anyway, these colors are taught to us basically culturally. So these are subconscious messages that come up almost without even being able to think about them.
Well, Lisa, let me ask you a question. And speaking of the various colors, and again, as you know, I've said, I have my pen and pad handy. And to our global listening audience, we want to thank you for tuning in to Motivational Mondays presented by Inspired Media for You with Coach Adams and our Dynamo in-studio guest. We are really, quote-unquote, breaking the code, per se, of this art of marketing and really getting some great wisdom from our in-studio guest. You know, one of the things that I find interesting is the colors that you mentioned. Are there any particular colors that one should steer away from?
Well, once again, this is know your audience, because men don't prefer purples and pinks still, despite what anybody might say. It's kind of like quiche. But the thing is that there are colors that appeal to both both men and women. That would be green and blue. Yellow and, you know, your purple, yellow, and pinks tend to be female colors, but it really depends on what your message is. Like in my logo, I have a purple and a teal color. Those were because I'm a consultant for business and marketing, and I aim mostly towards women businesses. So the purple was to appeal to the female side of us, and the greens were there for basically to ensue trust and the idea of monetary benefit from what I was teaching. And that was a good color. I went out and talked to my audience and got their opinion and asked them what they thought. What was their first impression of these, my logo and the colors that I used? So you can do a lot of research yourself too. But, you know, again, it all goes back to knowing your audience.
So true, and I must say I love your logo. And for me, your logo is very different in that you have the purple and the tealish green. And like you said, we see a lot of blue, and it's so interesting because when I was speaking with my latest person that supported with the promotional piece for my next wind shop, and we were looking at colors, I went with the green. And at first, and I'm now, like, kicking myself. I'm like, I should have talked to Lisa first. I had this really deep green. No, really. I had this super deep green, deeper than what I went with. And I thought, oh, it's too dark. But when you say marketing with black, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I should have gone with, because I thought it was a little richer. But I said, eh, it's probably too dark. It's not going to really catch the eye. It's going to get looked over. And I didn't want to go with blue, although blue is trusted, because I'm like, everybody uses blue. So I wanted something that, you know, I knew that growth and inspiration, hopefully, and what have you. So it's so interesting. I'm gaining so much insight from what we're sharing today.
Well, and one of
where
the things
you
can,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you can do to choose color, like my inspiration was, I thought about, what do you think that, I know this is an odd thing, but I thought about what flower would my group of people like? And I thought of an orchid, and that was just kind of the thing that came to my mind first. And so I literally took the color scheme from an orchid and just pulled out some colors from that. You can do similar imagery match up with your audience and just find out what their favorite things are to a certain extent and see if those image colors come up together. Like, you know, I might ask you what is an image that you see that your audience might generally see all the time in their mind? What is, you know, because you're about visionary and motivation and empowerment. What's something that kind of is an object for you that might represent that?
You know, the object that represents that for me is people crossing a finish line. So I often have, even on my website, you have this image of someone, you can tell that they're crossing the finish line. And I use that in different ways because that, for me, is very symbolic of people achieving.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so do you have a male or female audience mostly, mixed or?
It is mixed, but mostly female is what's attracted to me.
Okay. So, and this is just an exercise that I might go through with my clients, and then I might ask what the ages are. So my guess is you're probably somewhere between 27 and probably 57, right?
And yes, and that is very accurate, very accurate.
And then the probably the profile of your customer is that they work, that they have a vision of what they want to do. They don't quite know how to get there. They've got some education. They've gone through family life and other hardships and things like that. So what does a finish line look for that person? And I would say it's kind of like probably, these cool neon colors that they're wearing and some maybe grays in there for, you know, sportswear and your flags at the end of this. So, you know, is this coming close to what you were talking about?
It is very similar to what I'm talking about. It's interesting that we're having this conversation live on the air because I'm in the process now of kind of doing a revamping, beginning design process and doing a revamping of my website. Because when I did my website forever ago, I went with a burgundy because, you know, I see myself as so regal and royal and all of this, right? So it had nothing to do with, you know, my audience, how would they be attracted to that. And I've since grown to realize that the color may not be the color that is truly what I want to, evoke in people. Is that the correct term?
It is. See, this is the mistake that a lot of us have made, and I have made too. So, I mean, I'm, you know, the pot calling every kettle black out there. But I've learned through the hardships that I've learned through that you want to look at your audience and what who they are and make it their journey. And so, you know, if you're empowering these women to have these visions, then you know, I can see this picture that has a woman kind of running across that finish line of success, however she defines it, and the light kind of glowing from her, because I know you do spiritualism, and so you get all these colors in your mind, and you say, now what is the predominant color of this? Because there might be a sunset in the background, and if we're going to be dramatic, you know, and whatever flags and people cheering are on. So what colors do we pull from the energy of this imagery that would possibly connect and talk to our customer? Did I lose you?
You did not, but I was having a challenge getting off of mute. We are live. Oh, I love it. Well, you know, I heard that red is not a good color. Would you agree
with
that?
Not for what you're doing. Well,
yeah.
It is if your target. I mean, the reason they chose red is because it actually invokes the feeling of getting to something and doing something immediately. It's all about very instant gratification. And red can be about heart and health, and it can be about fear and other things. But in shopping, red and white or cream colors invoke that instant shopping desire. So, I mean, for Target, it's a great color. That's why I was saying it's like know your audience and know what you're doing in terms of your business. Red is generally a color you want to avoid for most businesses, but that's why you see blue in a lot of logos, because you know everybody likes the trust thing.
Right, and it's so interesting because I do have a splash of blue on my website. It's a ribbon actually that kind of brings everything together. I do have the grays because the backdrop of the man running, you know, crossing the finish line. You can feel the energy of that. It's a great tone. And I also have, so I was kind of on the right track. I think that the main background is where I missed it because I have the illumination of the lights and those various things that really speak to who I am. And so maybe I don't necessarily want to change all of that imagery, but just kind of change that background and just do a new thing. So, again, I got my pad and pen in hand. I'm getting such great insight. from Miss Lisa. I love it. You know, I want to give our global listening audience the opportunity, if there is someone that's listening in, and maybe you want to pick the brain of our marketing expert. Now would be the time in our programming when we open up our lines and we invite you to ask a question or make a comment around today's subject. And, of course, we're talking about the art of marketing, and we've been really looking at the power of marketing, understanding marketing, the right marketing colors, all of these various layers being relevant. So at this time, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, press 1 on your telephone keypad. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. If you don't have a question at this moment, if something comes up, you can press 1 at any time. But maybe you're sitting in front of your laptop, in front of your PC. If you're on your smart device, your electronic device, you do need to dial in. You would dial in at 425-292. I'm cracking myself up today, Lisa. Again, the dial-in number is 516-453-9374. See, I wanted to see if you were listening in, our audience. Are you listening in, really? Okay, scratch the first number, but here is the real number. 516-453-9374. 516-453-9374. Lisa, and press 1 to add yourself to the host queue. Lisa, I know you're working on various projects. Tell us about the different projects that you're working on. And obviously you do consulting. Are you even accepting new clients?
No, I'm actually not. I quit doing any new clients about a year ago and have been just maintaining some of my older clients that have some work to come up with from time to time. But right now I've spent about a year working on a project for an online course slash school for consultants and professionals who are Christian focused. And to give kind of a voice to consultants that want to use, you know, Heavenly Father and Christ in their teachings. So we have a certified health and wellness coach, and my husband, who teaches PTSD, who is a counselor and psychologist. And then there's myself, who I teach, of course, marketing and time management for projects. We also have a couple of other coaches that we'll be bringing on in communication and et cetera, et cetera. That platform, and kind of the reason I went this direction, was that we decided we needed a better digital sales funnel for that online school. So I've spent probably the last year re-educating myself on the digital marketing field and getting up to date. Like I said, it's been changing at the speed of light. It's been very hard to keep up on. And it's slowing down now a little bit, but you have to design your product for the digital marketing world. And that was kind of a trip up that we did. We kind of designed the product and then started to sell it and realized that we had made a mistake in that manner. So we're correcting that. The other project that came of this is more of a kind of a God thing that has occurred during my process. You know, as well as I do, that as you work on processes, Heavenly Father can have you have experiences, and then those experiences lead you a different way down a path than you ever thought you were going. And so one of the things that we started doing was a project called The Worry Pocket, and it's kind of a cool little story about how a person who was having a lot of problems. She was a pastor in her church, and some bad things had happened. She got sued, and they were going to lose their house, and then they had illness, and all these things started piling on her. And she was praying, and she remembered that God, she remembered her father as they walked when she was 5 years old, handing her some chewing gum while they were talking, and she would chew it. And then when she was done, she went to throw it down, and her father said, no, and he opened up his handkerchief, and she put the chewing gum in it. She puts that in her pocket, and then she realizes that she never thought about her chewing gum ever again because she'd given it to her dad, and she knew her dad would take care of it. And the Lord reminded her of this story and said, listen, you know, spit out your problems, put them in my handkerchief here, and I'm going to put them in my pocket. And he goes, and she said that's how the thought of the worry pocket came into being, was that Heavenly Father has a pocket, and if we give our worries over to him, he can take care of it. And so we decided that
that is so beautiful. Oh, my gosh, I love that. I can totally see what you're sharing there. That is amazing.
And so what we wanted to do was to create an online place for all of these consultants who have this talent and they have this passion about God and bringing everybody back into a state of hope. You know, the world is filled with depression and sadness and stress and anxiety, and we're all in suicidal thoughts. My husband does suicide prevention at the VA, and so I'm very aware of that. And so I decided to start on this trek of creating a sales funnel that would be where we would have live video talks on the website, and that people would then join as a member and have access to all these professionals. Well, it was a concept that came to my head before some of the software was available. So I've been searching out the software and creating the sales funnels and learning how to develop all this online so that it will come to fruition. This is a great big dream. It's still a year and a half probably out project, but it is my passion now. It's what I'm going to be doing probably for the rest of my life is creating a sales funnel for people like you, Coach, because it is such a difficult thing to develop on your own. And, you know, I feel like people who are consultants and coaches for God need a place to be able to get their word out easier so that they don't have to concentrate on the sales part of it, the marketing part of it. All they do is they come under our umbrella and into the family that we have, and we provide all the marketing and the sales funnel, and all that's all done for them. So that's kind of the vision that I have right now. I'm really excited about it. And so many things have been opening so that we can get this done. The Promote My Book project that I'm doing is to lay a foundation to show that I can do this. So, so that you have an example of kind of a micro example of doing something and then be able to create a larger project.
And I love it. And I must say, Promote My Book, thank you again for the invite to that. But the wisdom that you're sharing, you know, it really is helpful. Like you should, it can be a tedious project. For example, I'm a coach. I have an anointing there. I'm a speaker. All I want to do is get on the platform and speak. But all of these other things I have to, you know, grow in, being more educated in, you know, social media marketing, digital, all that stuff that really doesn't make my heart sing. What makes my heart sing is being able to motivate and inspire and empower others in their vision. And so I love that you are creating that umbrella to support others, and the wisdom that you're sharing in the various posts, you know, those that I'm able to read. As you know, if I can't take the time to read it in that moment, I'm not always going to get back to it. But, you know, the wealth of information I have been able to soak with, it is just phenomenal because it's given me different little thoughts to think about. So it definitely is so key because it is difficult knowing how to do all of these various things that you have to do to continue to maintain that relevance as it relates to your vision and the product, like you said, whatever that may be. What additional insight would you say that you would give to someone who is really efforting to navigate? It's like so amazing. We've talked about so much. We've talked about the significance of colors, knowing your market, you know, the different platforms of how to tap in, all those various layers. Is there any additional insight or wisdom that you would share to help someone navigate on this tricky journey, as I'm calling it, this table, the spider's web of marketing in today's age?
You know, I would say that probably one of the best pieces of advice right now is be very careful if you're going to be hiring someone, because the market, like I said, over the past 3 years has changed to where you can hardly recognize it. And you and I have both seen these posts of webinars on Facebook ourselves where they say, you know, just come and you do X, Y, Z, and you're going to have a million emails, and you're going to have a million people buy what you want, and it's all easy. Just pay us, you know, $600. We'll show you the system. Be very careful in vetting those systems, because most of them are based on information that was really legitimate probably 4 years ago. These are people who were at the head of the marketing changes and were successful at what they did. But what they did 4 years ago won't work now. And so make sure that you find somebody who's going to teach you what is happening literally within the last 6 months. And in order to do that, that person has to keep up on ports and statistics and white pages and keep educating themselves. My education on this is always going. I'm taking courses and constantly keeping myself abreast of what's changing, statistics and the rules behind the game. I mean, the depth of sometimes what you have to understand to advertise and get what I call a return on your investment for your time and everything is very complicated. And sometimes it helps to learn it yourself, but sometimes it helps to get a professional in there who can just tell you this is what you need to do, but make sure that they are really up on their game.
Absolutely, and obviously I don't want you to share any secrets that you don't want to share, but speaking of, you know, someone using information from 4 years ago versus now, is there one little snippet that you would share with us that you have grown to realize has changed from 4 years ago to now in marketing?
I would say that working with groups, in other words, getting in a collective, can be very powerful, and that's what we're talking about doing on a much larger scale. But are you familiar with what a collective is?
I am.
Okay, so basically to your audience, if they are unfamiliar with that, a collective would be, say, a group of coaches who have their, so like let's say you have 1,000 followers, this person has 1,000 followers, and that person has 1,000 followers. Now together you have 3,000 followers. And so if you can group up into a synergistic group and use your social media together, you can, you know, quadruple and quintuple your reach very quickly. The other thing that is also very effective, very fast, is really none of the social media sites like Pinterest and Facebook and all those. They are getting very expensive, very difficult to navigate. But forums and bloggers, and I'm not talking about bloggers who have like 200,000 followers. I'm talking about the little, what they call micro bloggers. These are people who probably have 3,000 to 4,000 followers. And you can ask to guest post on their blogs. You might even have to pay $10 to do it or something. But you can guest post, and those posts will be seen by their audience, which is already established, which can then multiply your visibility with people elsewhere. It also gives you a little bit of social proof, because that blogger who's already established themselves usually will introduce you to their audience. And so getting to know other bloggers, other forums. Another new site, as I had posted and promote my book, is Quora. And it's not that it's new. It's just that the power of Quora can be very interesting. So make sure that you look into that site, because it's free. And there's many, many ways that you can use Quora to boost your social proof.
Well, I absolutely love and appreciate the wisdom, such great wisdom and insight that you have shared. I have to tell you, I have a notepad right now in front of me. I was really serious about taking notes, and I have a couple of pages of things that I jotted down for me to look into. You're always giving me more homework, Lisa, man.
Just keep you busy.
Absolutely. As if I wasn't busy enough.
Well, actually, this should cut your time down. I said it should cut your time down because you're getting out to more people.
Yes, absolutely, once I make those connections. I actually have heard that it is so beneficial to align with others in different areas, so I love that. I mean, you gave a different spin with that concerning the microbloggers. Like, I hadn't looked at it in that regard, so I really appreciate that wisdom and that insight. You know, as we prepare to close out today's installment of Motivational Monday, before I get into my official close, I just love to ask my in-studio guest to share with the audience, what would you say has been the greatest life lesson to date that Lisa would say, wow, I'm so happy I learned that?
Do you mean in business or in my life?
Just in general. It could be business, it could be in life, just whatever that may be.
I would say that in life it's that to make sure that you always, no matter how much knowledge you have about anything, always be, and this is true in the gospel and as a parent, as a spouse, et cetera, is to always be humble enough to think that you can learn something from everybody, that you never have all the answers.
I love that, you know, and that stands out to me because I met someone recently and someone asked me for some insight regarding this person because they were interested in the position. And I said, what concerns me the most is their point of view is, I know it because I've been in the industry a long time. And I said, they're not coachable. They're not open to learning and growing. And I said, that concerns me. So I love that that is your richness of wisdom to date, greatest life lesson, to always remain open to learning and growing and developing. That is powerful. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time out to share with us on Motivational Mondays today, presented by Inspired Media for You here on Inspired Media for You. We so appreciate that. I want to, as we prepare to close out, I want to remind our global listening audience a couple of things. One, we are in full-blown activation mode of marketing and promoting our next Win Shop, 4 Hours of Power with Coach Adams, which is truly fast approaching July 29th. July 29th, 4 Hours of Power is a powerful and dynamic time of vision training, strategic planning and coaching empowerment. If you would like additional information concerning 4 Hours of Power with Coach Adams and this amazing event that will really give you this live setting to work your vision in an environment where you are with like-minded individuals and get some strategies to support you to moving your vision to the next level, you definitely don't want to miss the opportunity to share. We do have limited seating for our next July event, July 29th, and you can register and or get additional event information at TicketRiver.com/Coach Adams, TicketRiver.com/Coach Adams. This was actually a resource, Lisa, that you shared with me. So I've been using Ticket River for my past couple of events because of the wisdom that you gave around Ticket River. So I'm really excited about
that. Very good platform,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using. See, I just wanted you to know, I want to give you a plug to say, I'd be listening. I want to let our global listeners. Yes, I want to let our global listening audience know that, of course, Coach Adams offers a full circle of empowerment to support you on your journey. And so if you're not already a part of my network, visit CoachAdams.com, CoachAdams.com to add yourself to my database and my network. I want you to know that we will continue this conversation and dialogue if you will engage with us through our Facebook Motivational Mondays Forum, our Facebook Motivational Mondays Forum. So you can, obviously, if you're not a part of that, you can ask to be in, to join, and it's free. I mean, there's no, it's an open group, so you can definitely join. If you have any additional questions or comments, maybe you had a question that came up and you didn't want to ask it on the line, live, you can do that in the forum. And or if you have a show thought, idea, a recommendation for a guest, whatever that is, we'd love to have you engage with us there. All of my social platforms are reflected on CoachAdams.com under the contact page, so you can make the connections there. We want to thank you again for tuning in to Motivational Mondays, presented by Inspired Media for You with Coach Adams and our Dynamo in-studio guests. We are closing out for now. I coach you win, one who inspires, but we look forward to you tuning in as we continue in our Shape Up series on next week, and we have a host of dynamic guests that are scheduled and on the calendar, so definitely continue to tune in. We'll be right here next Monday. We're here every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we look forward to having you engage with us. Again, thank you for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams. This is Coach Adams signing off for now.